The Pulse, the news that matters to you.
Hello and welcome to The Pulse. This is our NUS special. So we're going to start off with an interview. So this is an interview done by URN's Harry Robertson for someone called Luke, who has been on the NUS trail.
My name's Harry Robson, and I'm sitting down with Luke Watkins, who's member of the Elections Committee. And we understand that there's been some recent developments within that. And Luke, if you could just explain to me why you're coming to us today about what's been going on with the NUS referendum and the Elections Committee's its role within that.
Yeah, so the Elections Committee is a really important committee of the student union because it presides over all elections. So it decides what the rules are going to be in an election, and if those are broken, what action is going to be taken. So anything from writing to the candidate to say that we're not happy about their actions to actually disqualifying a candidate. So it's an important committee with actually quite an important role, especially in a referendum as significant for students as this one. Yes, the reason I'm coming to you today, well, we had a meeting on Friday. It was decided after the student leader elections, where there was actually a lot of controversy surrounding the electoral process, and there was actually a real loss of faith amongst many students in the fairness of the electoral system. It was decided that we would hold a meeting the day after, or immediately after the close of voting, for the NUS referendum, to be able to decide before we release the results whether we thought any malpractice had taken place.
And have the results, they've been postponed, haven't they? Is that because so that the Elections Committee can work through these details?
Yeah, so obviously I'll come on to why I was the only person left at the end of the meeting, but as there were three of us remaining towards the end of the Elections Committee meeting, and we didn't feel qualified as three students to take such an important decision immediately with regard to whether we should disqualify any people for cheating, we should take action or disciplinary action against anyone, whether we should release the result. So we took the decision so that we were seen to be taking the process very seriously, and so that we could wait for Rob Jennings to return and update us on some important information, and so that we could wait for other committee members to return to delay the results until Monday, which is what we have done. And we put out an announcement to that effect on Friday.
So you scheduled this other meeting, and could you just go over what some of the key issues and grievances that have been put forward and things like this?
Yeah, do you want to talk about the first meeting on Friday?
Yeah, just start from the beginning, sure. If that's easiest.
So on Friday, we were scheduled to have a meeting. The Elections Committee consists of 9 students and 2 full-time officers and 1 part-time officer. So 9 students and 3 officers. And at the meeting, what ended up happening was that there was myself, 1 student, there was the women's officer, and there was the activities officer. Sarah Pickup, the welfare officer, chaired the meeting. She informed us that Rob Jennings was too busy putting up decorations for the grad ball to be at the meeting.
Do you think that maybe Rob Jennings slightly got his priorities wrong in this decision, maybe?
Again, I made this clear at the meeting. I thought that Rob Jennings' role as the chair of the Elections Committee is an extremely important role. He's in charge of... He is the highest authority when it comes to elections in the student union. We need his... You know, we need his input, we need...
His decision-making power as well, when
yeah,
it comes to this.
Yeah, he chairs the meeting, which means that a lot of... The complaints are submitted to him. A lot of people, you know, he will deal with lots of the complaints. There's lots of information that he has that's really important when we're making a judgment on whether a candidate or a campaign committed a breach of the electoral process. And to me, especially since the meeting was subcourt anyway, so we could have done with any person that we could have got, I thought it was really...
Subcourt means below the... below the usual number of committee members?
So to make sure that the process is fair... Since there are 3 officers on a committee, we have a 6-person minimum for a committee's decision to be binding.
Okay.
Out of the 12 members, which means that like a single person on their own couldn't just be the only person and make loads of really big decisions about the student union. But since it was obviously the end of term, people have jobs, you know, this was low. And then obviously Rob Jennings decided not to attend himself, which further exacerbated the situation. I thought it was a massive misevaluation of priorities. This is an enormously, enormously important referendum for Nottingham University students. It's the second largest university in the country, 34,000 students. A body which represents 34,000 students deciding whether or not to leave the National Union of Students, and it has huge implications for our clubs and our societies and our liberation networks, so like the LGBT network and the BME society and all these networks, and it has huge implications for students on whether they get to use the NUS extra card and things like that. And it's a hugely influential nationally. This would be national news if the second largest university in the country decided to leave the NUS. And for the person in charge of that committee not to actually turn up at that committee because they were busy decorating seemed to me grossly negligent. and really, really inappropriate. It really undermined my faith in the committee's ability to make decisions. The chair of the committee, Sarah Pickup, actually told us at the start of the committee, obviously I made notes on the committee, and she told us at the start that Rob Jennings hadn't actually informed her of all of the goings on in between the last committee and this one, so she wasn't actually fully up to date on the...
So Rob Jennings decided to delegate this to Sarah Pickup, or was it more of a Sarah Pickup decided, right, I'll chair this in Rob's absence?
So Rob Jennings has delegated the meeting to Sarah Pickup. That
but
was the
in doing so, he didn't give her any information about the goings on that had happened.
I mean, he must have given her some information, but she made it clear throughout the meeting that we had lots of questions about what the chair of the committee had been doing in between the last committee and this one. So, like, responding to people's emails and receiving election receipts from the National Union students and things like that. And it was pretty clear immediately that she hadn't been fully updated on these things. And it became very, very difficult to make an informed decision. Most of our decisions were to follow up the NUS or follow up the Yes or the Leave campaign, and it was very, very difficult for us to actually make any decisions. It was difficult enough as it was with three students there.
Was this a meeting that subsequently Sarah Pickup had to leave?
Yes, so the women's officer and Sarah Pickup had to run off. Sarah Pickup had a really important finance board meeting with the university. She couldn't do anything about that. The women's officer had, obviously, she's only a part-time officer, she has all sorts of engagements to go to, and I was left on my own for the last 15 minutes of the meeting to try and deal with this. I took the decision to call another meeting on Monday, which is today. I took the decision to call another meeting on Monday where hopefully Rob would attend and other committee members would attend, and I did that. But by Monday, Rob hadn't replied to any calls or emails from the SU staff and didn't attend the meeting. And as a result, we weren't able to hold the meeting.
And he wasn't able to attend because he was on holiday, I understand.
Yes, so Robert books a holiday for just after the elections were.
Right.
And he wasn't contactable. And yeah, and obviously he wasn't at the previous meeting because he was busy with putting up decorations at the grad ball.
Right, and of course, one of the big decisions...
Sarah Pickup was also unable to attend.
The meeting on Monday.
Yep, and most of the committee were unable to attend as well.
And so, the one of the big decisions that you wanted to deal with, but of course, due to Rob Jennings' absence and, you know, various committee
and
members
constraints
having and you know, different engagements, time constraints, one of the big issues that you wanted to deal with was about sponsorship campaigning and how the No to NUS campaign had arguably perhaps infringed on these rules.
Yeah, so we had a very large number of complaints from both sides. I think it's fair to say that there was a lot of complaints against both sides for all sorts of things, from putting stickers in inappropriate places to getting sponsorship to door knocking. And it became immediately clear that it was very, very difficult to deal with these without Rob present, since he'd been involved in kind of emailing people with warnings and you know, as chair, he is supposed to, you know, inform us of what the rules are and what's happening and what's going on. And with the subcourt meeting, especially with only three of us, it was very difficult. And obviously, we only had an hour before Sarah had to run off. And but what particularly struck me of all the complaints was the allegations against the No campaign. The No campaign, there was evidence. On paper evidence produced by someone, an anonymous source in the No campaign, that showed the head of the No campaign had received iPads from Unidays. So Unidays were obviously a rival to the NUS Extra Card that for student discounts and deals, and they had provided the No campaign with iPads. They also came onto campus purportedly to promote Unidays, but they're not actually allowed to do that as a commercial organisation. And one of the No campaign kind of coordinating team had been quoted as saying that they would need to make sure that was a happy coincidence and not seen to be directly solicited by them. The most incredible thing about this, though, was that when Unidays came onto campus, the chair of the elections committee, Rob Jennings, was immediately informed, because this obviously a breach of election rules to have to have a commercial organisation sponsoring it in essence by having their paid members of staff on campus and by providing iPads. He was immediately informed. He went to speak to them and actually told them that they were allowed, without consulting the committee, he went to them and he told them that they were allowed to campaign on campus so long as they didn't sell a commercial product, sell uni days, because that's banned, you know, by the university. Although we actually have, you know, even though he took that decision, do you have the quote from the election rules?
I'll just check. Candidates and campaign teams should not seek sponsorship for this election.
So it seemed pretty clear from the complaint we had, evidencing the no campaign receiving iPads from UniDays and evidencing UniDays coming onto campus and campaigning, that we would probably, that could probably be interpreted or fairly clearly be interpreted as a form of a sponsorship.
And just to go through what the implications of this sponsorship could mean for the actual referendum. So, for example, you talked about giving the iPads to the No to NUS team, which they would then subsequently use in order to try and convince people to vote no in the referendum by having the link there and ready. You know, if this is separated by a marginal amount of votes, that's potentially very damaging to the validity of this referendum.
Absolutely. So UniDays did decide to withdraw their staff from campus after an hour because they realised the potential kind of implications to their image. But that it was made explicitly clear to us at the meeting that that wasn't because Rob Jennings asked them to leave. It was a commercial decision by them, which again is incredible. They should have immediately been asked to leave. But the implications of this are fairly significant. If they had stayed on campus, that would have had enormous implications because you potentially have election expenses of several members of staff salaries for the week that they're campaigning. Obviously, they weren't campaigning for that long, but we also have images of flyers that they brought onto campus, which would have costed money and would count within the election budget of £300. So one potential implication is that it would put the no campaign over the election spending limit, which is, unlike the student leader elections, is a hard limit, which means that we have to take some sort of action if they breach it. The other implication is, yeah, two iPads can make a big deal of difference. I didn't say it was two. A number of iPads can make a great deal of difference to campaigning if you're getting students to sign up on them. Staff campaigning on campus are going to make a big deal of difference. And ultimately, this is a really, really important referendum for students, and we're never going to be able to quantify the effect. But to do something like this against the rules when the other side isn't allowed to do that because they're following the rules has actually got fairly significant implications for the results of the
Pulse
election.
The news that matters to you. The Pulse. The news that matters to you.
Just another day.
This is URN, The Pulse.
So, hello and welcome to Pulse. That was, we were just hearing from Luke Watkins, who was on the elections committee. So they were talking about the grievances that have happened, which has led to the results of Nottingham's affiliation with the NUS being delayed about 5 days now. So what we were talking about, what Luke was talking about there, is that the fact that there have been 10 complaints which have been received by the elections committee, which have been levelled at both sides, including the campaigns of No to NUS and Yes to NUS. What is a big thing is the fact that the No to NUS side has allowed sponsorship from uni days, which, if proven, would break the student union rules. So, guys, from hearing from Luke and knowing the facts yourselves, what is your opinion on this?
For me, it seems like it's the same problems as even the SU elections, just saying about the two iPads. It seems like the rule at the moment should just be no iPads altogether, because it just seems to be causing all the problems. I mean, I don't think uni days should be there at all. It seems like it was a competitor's move. It was to improve their business. There wasn't actually they weren't thinking about the interests of the university as such. It was, you know, it was a strategic thing. And I think it's worrying if one side was relying on that. But we haven't heard yet about the complaints against the Yes campaign. Do you have any idea of what they would be a bit about?
I'm not sure personally. I've not received much information on the Yes. It's mainly more focusing on the No campaign, although obviously there has been statements saying that there has been complaints for the Yes campaign as well. However, I think that it's just the fact, I think uni days is what has really tipped this over the edge, because having corporate sponsorship for an electoral campaign is, at the end of the day, it's not right. It's not fair, because it's giving an unnecessary advantage. But then at the end of the day, if you look at this in sort of national scope, the Sun always backs someone for the elections, the Mirror always backs someone for the elections. It's very much a grey area. But however, if it doesn't cohere with SU rules, which I don't think it does, then obviously it's not okay. But it's a difficult thing to think, because you think nationally, actually that's allowed.
My annoyance at the whole affair comes in the fact that, as Luke pointed out in that interview, we are the second biggest university in the country. We have 34,000 students, and it comes down to a panel of 12, of which 6 have to be students. And on such a crucial,
it's worrying, isn't it?
Day, there is only he was on it by himself with SU officers who are not in their, when they are in their role, who are not students. So they have a completely different agenda to what Luke and a student's representing would have.
What's your opinion of Rob Jennings not being at the meeting due to the fact that he was setting up Gradball?
I mean, Rob Jennings has done a very good job as activities officer. But it's on big events such as this where I don't want to say he's got his priorities the wrong way around. I just feel like his job is there to chair that committee. It is not there. He was not elected to put up bunting at Gradball.
Could you say, though, obviously a lot of people went to Gradball, and as activities officer is obviously playing devil's advocate here, but isn't his job to make sure that everyone leaves Nottingham with a bang? And obviously he's sort of meant to be at the NUS thing as well, but at the end of the day, there's not been a great turnout for the NUS votes. Which one was, can you see his reasoning?
I can possibly see. I feel like it was probably bad organisation at the time. The meeting should have realised, because obviously Gradball has been on the books for months. They've probably started working on that after the last one.
But didn't Luke say that they'd already scheduled this meeting?
They had.
Which I think is the problem, is that, I mean, if the elections closed and then suddenly it came out that there were problems with the whole procedure, then I think, fair enough, Rob already had a commitment in hand, which was a massive ball, which is part of his duty as activities officer. But the fact that it was pre-scheduled, regardless of what was going to happen, it was felt that it needed to be done. He got more than 24 hours notice, and I'm sure someone else could have helped out activities. Helped out Gradball.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's not something that Rob personally needed to be there for. He could have taken a couple of hours out of his day to go and attend what is really quite an important meeting. You know, the future of the NUS is looking very shaky. Having, who's already left, Harry? I know that you were looking this up earlier.
University of Lincoln have left, Newcastle University have left, University of Hull have left, Loughborough University have left. Also, Oxford and Cambridge, it was close, but they decided to remain.
But there, it's just, there are big players there. Loughborough and Newcastle, both big. Newcastle's a Russell Group. Loughborough is very well renowned and very well respected. Those are big players in the UK university game who have decided not to be affiliated with the NUS. And there is going to potentially be a snowball effect where lots of the big key universities, obviously Nottingham included, I know that, you know, Southampton and York and all of these, Durham, are all having referendums on the NUS, and there is real potential here for them to be a snowball of people leaving. And I feel like for it to not be taken seriously and for the electoral process to be sort of
skewed
as it has obviously been is really not fair for something that could have a massive impact on the future of students.
I also feel like that with I think 34,000 students, of the people that maybe half the people care about what happens, the people that are graduating doesn't particularly matter. But it's such a big deal. I would much rather they have held huge discussions. They should have held, there should have been sort of huge discussions where students were invited to come along and say, look, it's your decision. Because it ultimately comes down to a student decision.
Or at least if it wasn't the right time because of grad ball, then maybe it should have been, we're not going to announce results, but we will follow this up next week and we will encourage as many students to voice their opinions as possible. Because, I mean, you know, we say we're the second largest university. It doesn't matter whether we're the first, the second, the 400th. It matters what students feel, and it's important that they get their representation and that the voting was fair, or as fair as possible.
Yeah, and the voting having gone, the complaints being made, obviously no election is without some form of corruption. Any election throughout the history of the university, there will be some corruption somewhere. But for a commercial company not connected to the university to be allowed onto the university to basically increase their business and see it as a business opportunity, to be allowed onto the university when other companies are not, when the other side haven't been able to give their say, I think is dreadful, and I think is a sheer sort of arrogance and misuse of sort of like power, or not misuse of power as such, but sort of.
It's exploiting the situation, really.
They have really exploited the situation.
And I mean, it seems like there would be problems if NUS came, if Amalia came onto campus and suddenly started doing a campaign and got the same permissions that Uni Days got. There would be uproar.
And the fact it took them an hour, it took them an hour to leave. And they left of their own choice. They could have stayed there for six. They could have come back and campaigned for the entire week. And I've seen the stickers. I went and locked my bike up and I saw a sticker on the bike rack and I was going, well, thank you for that. I don't see anyone advertising the yes with stickers.
Mm-hmm. I would say throughout the whole thing, the no campaign has had a lot more coverage and a lot more people have been getting a lot more passionate about it. Because I feel... Yeah, basically, I think the no campaign has been more passionate.
It's a negative campaign.
It's a negative campaign, which is always, at the end of the day, a lot of the time it gets a lot more press because obviously they're pointing out problems, they're saying this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And there's also been a lot of allegation of skewing of numbers from the no and the yes campaigns, both of them sort of putting out statistics which aren't necessarily correct and so on and so forth. But obviously, if you are already a campaign which is getting a lot of coverage and you're already doing well in your campaign, I don't really see the need to bring in things such as Uni Days and to actually invalidate your campaign. If you're doing well already, if you've already got an on-campus good presence, why muddy it by breaking SU rules?
I mean, the No to NUS campaign has no control if Uni Days decides independently to send an email to all University of Nottingham students on their system. They have no control about that, and fair enough. And it would be unfortunate, as Harry said, sometimes, you know, a voting system, it can't be perfect. And that would be an example of something which was completely out of control. And, you know, they probably didn't even know what the electoral guidelines were. But the fact that they actually did it knowingly and the campaigns knew very well, I'm sure the No to NUS, as I said, if NUS suddenly turned up, they would have been pointing at those guidelines and saying, look, this goes against it.
I also feel that it must be very frustrating for those people that they're in charge and have to decide. And the fact that the meetings didn't go as smoothly as planned on such a big operation as this, because it is once we're out, you can get back in with the NUS, but it is it's difficult. And I'm interested to see that if we do end up saying no, what will happen. Because there is this quite big allegation, and they have broken the rules. Should therefore the votes be invalidated?
We've actually had a text in. Our text just said that complaints for the yes side focus on how the NUS came down to campaign, which is equivalent to uni days coming down to campaign, as well as how claims on their leaflets were misleading. A complaint also put against the no campaign. But if this iPad story is true, then action must be taken.
So there wasn't. So it seems like both sides
have used sponsorship. According to this text, obviously we have
no verified proof.
Did the SU at all give any funding to the campaigns?
Not as far as I know.
Because surely you wouldn't expect, I feel like, some students to say, "Oh, okay, I'm going to do going to reduce my food shop this week to buy stickers." I mean, I don't think you can expect that.
But I also feel like, I don't know, I feel like it being such a prominent campaign, I would be personally surprised if the SU had given any funding, because it's a massive electoral thing that will affect them either way. So either way, giving them funding for yes or funding for no, even if they give equal, it could be seen as...
But I feel they needed to do something, because otherwise it is so easy, it's so tempted. If people are apparently giving you iPads, you can't do that possibly. And they do need support. So I think it is, if you're wanting to make this a fair campaign or a fairer campaign, then there needs to be support from the SU out of their interest. Otherwise, they've ended up in this pickle because of it.
But then again, I mean, the SU, as Meg said, it affects the SU if we're in, if we're out. It really does affect the SU quite big.
Yeah.
It will have a big knock-on effect next year, with not so much if we stay, but if we go. Because it means
it would change our funding completely from the university.
And it means more work for them, because obviously they've been working with Nottingham, have worked with the NUS since its creation, since we joined. And I feel like they had to remain impartial, and I don't feel like the officers have given enough impartiality, shall we say. They haven't been as neutral as perhaps they should be. It's more the little things, like, okay, yes, Rob Jennings going off and putting out bunting at Rabble was not ideal, but fair enough. Yeah. I feel like had he realised, oh, I can't, I've got to go to Gradball, had he given Sarah Pickup enough notice and filled her in, as he should have done if he said, oh, can you chair this meeting for me? Because as long as there was communication, I feel like communication has been
And the fact that she, Sarah doesn't seem to, or Luke said that she wasn't fully informed of the situation.
Exactly.
I mean, fair enough, if somebody can't make it, a welfare officer seems like a suitable solution if that needs to be. But the fact that she wasn't fully informed or didn't appear to be is worrying, because then that's a breakdown in communication. I saw during campaigning that, I believe it was on the SU Tumblr, they did say that the SU were going to be neutral, but I think they said that the officers might in some way show an opinion, but it wasn't necessarily a reflection of the SU as a whole.
Do you think at the end of the day, everyone's allowed to vote?
Yes.
So, regardless of whether you're on the electoral committee or not, Luke Watkins, obviously completely impartial, but he will know whether he's voting in or out, and he is completely at liberty to do that. I feel like the same with the SU officers. They're obviously on the electoral committee, but at the same time, they can vote in, they can vote out, and that's up to them. However, I think if they're doing this on the committee, that's not okay. On the committee, they should all be completely impartial, showing age.
And almost be more just encouraging people to vote.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah. So I feel like, yeah, they've struggled to encourage people to vote, or if they have, they've done it in a way where they haven't given a fair enough representation of both sides. So by allowing the iPads and allowing uni days to come on and not pick up on it straight away and go, no, come on, you've got to leave, you're a commercial company, this is not allowed in a student election, as they should know, because they should know the election rules. they should know them back to front. It's part of their job to know the election rules, to run the election committee, to chair the election committee. They shouldn't be having to be dictated the rules to them. They should already know them. So that's an oversight. I think that's an oversight on their part. Their lack of... I think they've got to the end of the year. They've said, oh, last big thing we've got is grad ball, and sort of go, oh, yeah, we've got that election.
I think
up.
They maybe feel that because this has happened right at the end of the year, people are going to forget about it. Be like, oh, it happened. Like, well, we got now 4 days left of term. Three, four days left. Things at the end of term tend to get washed under the carpet. If something happens at the end of the year, and at the end of the day, these SU officers have got 4 official days left in power while students are still here. And it's kind of just like, I feel like it's been one of those things being like, oh, it's quite important, but it's nearly the end of term. Who's really going to care about it? They're all going home in 4 days. Let's just, you know, be chill. And I feel like that's not the right... I'm not saying that is the attitude they got. I'm saying that's potential it's for what has happened.
Yeah.
And I feel like that... Yeah, it's not giving out the right message, really.
And I feel maybe even if... Because they keep delaying, because it was going to be... The result was going to be on Monday. Now it's, I believe,
now
it's confirmed
tomorrow.
For tomorrow, yeah. But if this happens and the case is not even resolved, maybe they might even just wait till everyone's broken up. Think that that's the easiest way, whatever the result is, to...
There won't be as big an impact.
Because no one will be here, they'll be broken up, no one's going to be
and
protesting.
And a lot of third years don't really care.
No.
But I personally, like, I've not voted, and I'm a big voter. Like, I'm very much, like, most elections, I will be like, yes, absolutely vote, 100%.
Yeah.
But...
I was so undecided as well, I didn't vote.
And I'm very much against the argument of it doesn't affect me, I'm not going to vote. But in this instance, I've actually taken that on because I was like, it literally, I have no intention of ever coming back.
Well, I mean, but that you can understand maybe why the SU officers have taken the route they've taken. They've already graduated and are just
going on to a
job. And
it's almost the next
office,
the new officer's problem.
It's almost like, yeah, because of course they've had the... We know who the next SU are. They should... by now have sort of been introduced into their ideas, what they've got to do and things. And I just hope that they will look at this last week and go, right, we're not going to do that next year.
I mean, I think this would also, I mean, I don't know if they've had their handovers yet, but this would have been a really good opportunity to show the new officers what it's like to be...
And how to do something how not to do something.
I mean, this would have been a perfect... I mean, don't want to... a practice on such a big thing, but in a way, if they were open their eyes to it, how they as SU officers need to encourage the voting, this would be great for any future referendums, any decisions, as well as the elections next year. Getting people involved, that it isn't, say, activities isn't just making sure the society's happy, it's things like general elections, it's making sure people vote. So I think it's a wasted opportunity that maybe if the old officers aren't as interested as they should be, then maybe the new officers, who are hopefully really passionate about the SU and want to make sure that people feel actively involved, this would have been the opportunity for them to shine and make people realise that they've got a great officer committee ahead of them.
I do actually. I think that is quite a good point. How I feel like this. And you may say, like, this probably isn't the best one for them to take over on. I completely disagree.
I mean, it's a massive one, yeah.
But I disagree. I think it is a good one for them to take. I think it would have been a good one for the new officers to do, because it won't happen again. This is the only... This is it. We're either in and we're out, and then we'll stay that way. It may...
Might take about 5 years.
It takes 5-6 years, and let's have another referendum about the NUS. But this would be a very good one, a very good... Well, I want to say trial run.
So training platform.
Training platform. With the old officers going, like, this is the way we do it, you do this. And then they can go, actually, no, that doesn't work. We want to do it this way, or we want to do it this way. And then go, actually, looking at the elections this year, they weren't quite right. Let's try and get this one right and take it forward. So I feel like, I mean, I can understand where the old SU are coming from. They've had an entire year dealing with some rather big issues. Mm. Probably mainly from the university and from outside forces like this one is. So you can understand that they're tired. I mean, all third years are getting to this point now, and we're just sort of wanting to fall asleep.
Yeah, and I'm sure the new officers would love a break before they're fully involved, but this would be, you know, if they're excited about their positions, this would be a great way of actually being able to communicate with, you know, the old committee person, your role, and work out what you can do and learn about yourself and how you can involve yourself in it.
Well, I think we've come to the end of that debate. Thank you for our texts in. And if you have any opinions, please don't hesitate to let us know. Send us a free web text at urn1350.net, tweet us at urnpulse, or send us a Facebook message at urnnews. So we're going to end early today. It is now it's now 5:45, and here is Can't Stop the Feeling by Justin Timberlake.